Merry Christmas. Like many of you, we have a nativity scene in our house. To be honest, we have more than one in our house because I really love them. When I set them out, I place Mary and Joseph behind the manger and the shepherds, the wise men, and the animals in a pleasing arc behind them, facing outward a little bit so everyone can see every piece and everyone can see Jesus. It was my mother-in-law who first alerted me to what often happens when children come near the scene and handle the figures. The figures all turn inward and crowd around the manger. They want to get a better look at the baby. So what if all the passerby sees is the rear side of the figurines? The point is the baby. And the kids do have it right, as they so often do. The point is the baby. The decorations, the lights, the presents, all of it is secondary to the main point, the baby. And it's Christmas Day. As Christians, we have set aside this day, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And in our corner of the world, at least, it's a pretty big celebration. The festivities begin earlier and earlier every year. It seems that it's open season for sure from the beginning of November and onwards. Lights, carols, presents, parties. The guy with the big red suit and big white beard. Ironically, with all the festivities, it can actually be a challenge to remember to focus on the baby. And when we do, it's often in a cutesy kind of way, with a passing acknowledgement of the baby Jesus before we get on to more pressing matters of our agenda. But today, it's Christmas, and we're in church, so let's slow down. Let's really think about that baby with new eyes. Let's hear the story with fresh ears. Now, Matthew's version of the Christmas story, which we heard this morning, isn't as well known as Luke's. It's shorter and more to the point. It lacks the census, the donkey, the inn, the stables, the shepherds, the choir of angels. After a necessary genealogy to establish this baby's legitimate right to the title of King and Messiah, he begins the story. Now, the birth of Jesus happened in this way. It's a story with few characters: Mary, Joseph, an angel, who talks to Joseph, not to Mary, by the way. And the Holy Spirit is the source of the wonder. The Holy Spirit is responsible for the whole affair. And the account does not gloss over the humble circumstances, the pain that seems to be in the air. Mary is pregnant before the marriage has been consummated. Joseph wants to end the relationship quietly. One gets a sense that there's been some friction between them. Not a great beginning for the Son of God. But God is not frightened of humble beginnings and human parentage. That is the whole point, actually, of the birth of Jesus, that God does not fear our human trappings, our skin, our frailty, our weakness. God comes to us in our weakness, in our frailty, in our very human web of relationships. God comes to be with us in our humanity. That's what the baby in the manger says, that God is with us. Matthew's account gives two names for the baby: Jesus, which means Savior, the one who saves, and Emmanuel, which means God with us. At first glance, it seems a bit confusing in the story. The angel tells Joseph that he should name his baby Jesus, and as a proof text, lists the prophecy from Isaiah, in which the baby will be called Emmanuel. Together with Matthew 1:1, which names Jesus also as Messiah, anointed one, that makes three names for one baby. But it's quite simple, actually. His name shall be Jesus, which means Savior, and they shall call him. The people who see the light of God in him, the people who acknowledge God's presence in him, they shall call him Messiah and Emmanuel, which means God with us. One name is given, the others are gifted. This Advent at NLUMC, we've been pondering a simple question: what does good look like? This Christmas morning, I'd like to push that question just a little more and ask, what does God look like? You'll find the answer to both questions is the same. What does God look like? To the early Hebrews, this question itself was heresy. God was beyond our human perception. To look upon God was to die. Even Moses himself was only permitted to see God's backside as the Divine One passed by. But in Jesus, with Jesus, God changed strategies. According to the prophetic word, God had been working with this strategy, towards this strategy, for a long time. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, Galatians 4, verse 4. God chose incarnation. God chose a human mother, a humble birth, and became human. Suddenly, God looked like us. What does good look like? Good, when God gives it form, looks like a baby in a manger. Goodness comes wrapped in weakness and vulnerability, without power, might, or wealth. Goodness comes in human form. Goodness looks like Jesus. And Jesus, from these humble beginnings, would have a humble ministry, gather a dozen disciples and a fervent following in the countryside, and would arouse the anger of religious and social leaders, and would die a despised death on a cross. The Apostle Paul calls the cross foolishness in the eyes of the world, 1 Corinthians 1:18. The manger is no less foolish than the cross. But to quote Paul in the same chapter, the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. A little while ago, Brenda Fisher pointed out to me that it's possible to see a cross in the driftwood where we have placed our candles. Do you see it? Any of you see it? Give me a little nod if you see it. Yeah. It reminds me of our summer social media theme, God Goes With Us. We spent time over the summer seeing crosses and making crosses wherever we were. And with those, we took pictures and posted them on our social media site. And we gave it the hashtag, God Goes With Us, reminding ourselves that God is always with us, even in our travels, even when we're not in church. And our hashtag, God Goes With Us, is actually pretty close to the name that was given to Jesus at birth, Emmanuel. God is with us. Because good ultimately looks like Jesus. Good looks like Emmanuel. Good looks like God with us from the manger to the cross. God is with our foolishness, our weakness, our vulnerability, and our pain, and this is good. God does not wait for us to get it right to come near us. God does not wait for us to achieve perfection to stand with us. God comes into our humanity and loves us. God redeems our sinful state. God restores us from shame. God fills humanity with goodness, with hope, peace, joy, and love. Anyways, in spite of, and yes, because of who we are. Can you comprehend the magnitude of this? God is with us. And the reverse is equally true. We are with God. There is nowhere we can go that God is not. Nothing we can do that will cause God to abandon us. God is with us. I turn again to Paul to express the magnitude of the incarnation. God is with us from the manger to the end of time. Paul writes in Romans 8, "Know in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's what the manger says. God is with us in the hospital bed, with the ill, and with the caregivers at their side. God is with the bereaved and the grieving. God is with the aging, with working parents, with the unemployed, with kids on school break. God is with the anxious and the depressed. God is with youths in the closet and Syrian refugees and those on the street. God is with those awaiting a diagnosis. God is with the scatterbrained and stressed out, with travelers and homebodies. God is in Japan and India and England and Argentina. God's in Boston, Vancouver, Halifax, and Inuvik. God is even at Point Pelee, even to the tip. That is what the manger says. That is what Emmanuel means. God has come to redeem the human state, that we may all know God's nearness. Matthew begins the gospel with the birth of Jesus and the name Emmanuel. And Matthew ends the same gospel account with Jesus' words to his disciples after his resurrection. And listen, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." There's that echo of Emmanuel again at the end. People of God, beloved children of God, God is with you. God is with me. Emmanuel, God is with us. This is goodness revealed. And if God is with us and we are with God, how then shall we live? Shall we live cowed by fear and shame? Shall we be ashamed of our weakness, our limits, our frailty, our vulnerability? This did not hold God back. Look to the manger. Shall we hold back the light that God gave us, the light that shines in us, the light given to us by a God who loves us so much that he was willing to become nothing for our sake? Or shall we live so that those who see our lives can also see the one who is one of us? Shall we live so that God's goodness is evident in us, so that God's love is primary, that God's presence shows in and through us? That's how we can live the Christmas message, live the gift of Emmanuel. People of God, goodness looks like God with us. Goodness also, therefore, looks like you when you let God's love shine through you. God goes with us, isn't that right? As we are, God is really with us. Not as we should be, or are we trying to be, or have promised to be, or will be someday, but God is with us as we are today at this moment. God's own self comes wrapped in vulnerability, weakness, and foolishness. And that's good news. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.